Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man Beast Bum Gun live on the off-ramp, January 11, 2024. Welcome to the off-ramp, a show for the people by the people that embodies the people. I'm sick as a motherfucker, so forgive me. Look, I'm going to try to get through this show this next hour, hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on how, what the lines look like. The show could be over in 10 minutes tonight. I feel terrible. I'm stuffed up. Look, I'm going to be coughing all night. I'm going to do my best to put myself on mute so, you know, y'all don't hear me coughing and hacking and all that stuff. So I'm asking for your forgiveness now. My body went haywire on me. I don't know what happened. The other day I was perfectly fine. Came home. Took my son to the gym. And then for some reason that night, body just shut down. Just shut down on me. I went to sleep. DJ C. Siren came in the crib, looked at the kid and was like, "Where's your dad?" And I was like, "Yo, he's in bed." And it was about 8:40. And I slept until the next day. I went to work for a couple hours because I had to fight through a couple things at work. I came right back home at 12 and passed out. Went to sleep at noon. I said, I'm going to just take about an hour nap, get myself together. At 4:30, my kid walks upstairs. "Dad, are you asleep again?" I said, "Yup." I helped him. So I woke up. I made sure the house was okay. He said, "Dad, can I go outside?" I was like, "I don't care." And I went right back to sleep. So I'm in bad shape. I'm feeling better, though. The last couple of days were rough. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling on the mend. But, you know, as it comes with colds and, look, I don't even know if I got COVID. At this point, I think we all got COVID. I think it's all the flu. I might have that RSV because, like, when I cough, like, I feel it in my ribs. And I don't know if that's just for me being fat. I'll take your contacts out in a minute. I don't know if that's just me being fat or what, but I feel it in the ribs. So my kid was sick before then, so I don't know. If he got me, I don't know what happened. So I'm in bad shape. I'm going to try not to cough all through the mic. I'm going to try not to cough through the show. If we end the show early, it's because the Benadryl kicked in. And when the Henny is in the system, ain't no telling what I fucking what I diss him. But I'm just going to pass out and go to sleep. So bear with me. Welcome to the off-ramp. It's a show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. We dissect all the fun news of sports, life, relationships. We dissect it on the off-ramp. We have these conversations. We started this show because, you know, a lot of people talk on the internet. They do a lot of typing. I wanted to create a safe place where you can call in. I won't give your real name out because I don't want you to be fired from your job. I want you to just be able to call in, say how you feel. We'll have a healthy discussion. We all got to agree. We can disagree. You know, we welcome Republicans. We welcome Democrats. We welcome independents. Welcome black people, white people, Hispaniola, Asia, the Jews and the Palestinians. I know y'all beefing, so y'all probably don't want to come at the same time. But we welcome everybody here on the off-ramp. You can always call in 929-477-3975. You can catch us on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram. Shit, I didn't miss the mute button. My bad, yo. Instagram, you can catch us on Twitch, which I got to figure Twitch out because it makes my computer run hot. You can catch us on all that. You know, we're all over. We're worldwide. We've been running the show. I think I got a Facebook reminder from 7 years ago, and it was a post that we did, that we've been live on the air. So welcome. Everybody's welcome. We welcome all opinions. We welcome all people. So with that, we'll get started with the show. DJ C. Siren, before you run off and help the kid with his homework, you want to say hey, what's up to the people?
Hey, good evening.
Welcome, DJ C. Siren. Yeah, I'll take his contacts when he's done. I'm going to have to take my kid's contacts out in a minute when he's done his homework with his mama. Yeah. So welcome, DJ C. Siren. I don't know if she got a chance to say hi or not, but fuck her. She be all right. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the offer. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Oh, man, blessed and highly favored as always, man. Just left the shop. Got the fresh cut, so you know I'm feeling sexy. If I was a younger me, I'd be out going looking to cheat on my girl, but I'm a grown man now, so I don't do none of that. But, yeah, man, feeling good. Ain't nothing like leaving work early, getting a nice fresh cut, and just looking in the mirror and just knowing, like, yeah, I'm still that dude. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. You know, it always feels good to feel good about yourself. I haven't had a fresh haircut in a couple of years, so I forgot what that feels like. But, I mean, I guess it's like getting your hair done. But getting your hair done just takes a while. Like, having long hair is just crazy, man. Like, I've always said that. I feel like saying why women are crazy now. I feel like I found the solution. And I think I've said this on here before. I know why women are crazy. When you've been prepped as a child to sit under a hairdryer, so basically you've had 120-degree heat pumped on your brain every month for 30 to 40 years, like, it's going to probably melt some things. So get my hair done, yo. That's rough, yo. I be arguing all the time with my lady, like, yo, we ain't gotta put the hair dryer on. She makes me get under it. But, you know, didn't want to make that about me. Glad you feel good about yourself, man. So, what do you call it? Good selflessness.
Self-esteem? Terrible. I don't know where you're going.
There you go. Good self-esteem. Good self-esteem. Glad you're feeling pretty good, man. You had a rough couple days. So, all right, we got one of my favorites, one of my favorite people. We got Doc Navy in the building. Doc Navy, welcome to the off-ramp. How you holding up?
I'm holding up, but I was going to say, is it self-care? I know I'm coming in a little late, but is it self-care that you're speaking of?
Yeah, good self-care. It's nice when you know what I mean, when you be able to, like Blair said, he got off work, got a fresh haircut, you know. You get your nails done, you know. You get it good cleaned up. It's good self-care. It makes you feel good about yourself. And we should do that more often for ourselves. We should be selfish in that standpoint. More self-care. How you holding up, Doc Nate? You good? How's your spirit?
For me, if you're speaking to me, it's pretty good today. I had a great day today. New moon tonight. Released a lot yesterday and shifting into new for the new year, 2024. Yeah, so good. How about you all?
Good. Glad to hear it. New moon, that's a new one. Do you feel like your mood affects from the moon? Because I know your best friend, she gets a little crazy when there's full moons. Like, when she start acting up, I'm like, is it a full moon? And she's like, don't you fucking say that. And I'm like, I think it's true, though.
You know, I feel like that could be kind of related to the whole PMS conversation. I am going to say I'm gonna tap into it and use it for the positive benefits. So yeah, yesterday was an off day. It was a crazy day. Lots of grief. Lots of remembrance of loss yesterday. So I'm gonna hold on today being a new moon. And like I said, just they say with a new moon, which is different than a full moon, that you're releasing things. So I'm gonna take that. I'll hold on to that.
They died yesterday?
Say that again?
Is it somebody personal? You said remembrance of death. Somebody died yesterday? Is it Michael Jackson's birth?
No. You know, I don't know specifically if anybody died yesterday, but somebody who has died in my past, just somebody that your loved one knows, from Hampton, really came up my spirit yesterday, and he just kept hitting me hard. So, and I was kind of shocked by that, but I just checked the calendar, and I was like, well, maybe, I don't know what they're trying to sell me, but I'm like, you know what? But like I said, today was such a much better day, so I just guess I just needed to, you know, let some people go in the living right now. That was something, you know. So, like I said, I'm going to embrace the positive of it.
Well, good. I'm glad today was a better day than yesterday. And let's make tomorrow a better day than today. I got my man New York in the building. New York, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. Happy to be here.
How's your spirit? Spirit good? How you feeling in these streets?
Yeah.
Is your product
moving
good? Your workers doing good?
Hey, look, I don't know about all of that, but, yeah, everything good. The business is good. Everything good. Spirit good. Health good. Can't complain.
Yeah, I got to tell y'all about the story. And I got to, because I know she listens to the show, I don't want to make it personal. And I hope she doesn't mind sharing the story. But none of y'all know her, and none of y'all would know her. But I know this girl, and she's in the dating scene. She's out there in the streets. She's a grown adult, so God bless her. She met a guy one night. And he was like, what do you do? And she told him what she does. She has a legitimate job. I just don't want to give too much of her information on it. She said, what do you do? He says, I run tractor trailers and I sell drugs on the side. So she's telling me the story and I immediately started laughing. And she said, why are you laughing? Because, you know, I shouldn't be dating a thug. I was like, I know people who have dabbled in pharmaceuticals. I've never known them to meet someone that's a stranger and tell them that's what they do. Most times, people that I know have said, oh, shit, I done dropped the mic, my bad. Most times they said that they were entrepreneurs. Honestly, the red flag to me is always if a guy tells you he owns a barbershop, 90% of the time, there's probably something else going on. Look, and I don't knock those people. That's not the part of the story that I was really, really talking about. So he tells them this. So I said, okay. She said, so they enjoy the night. They do what grown folks do. The first night she met him, she was too drunk. She gave me that excuse. I said, look, you ain't got to qualify for me. You're an adult. You're single. Do what you want. Do what makes you happy. Sorry, I had to take a sip of that red vino. So she said the very next day he calls her and ask her to borrow $200. So I started dying laughing again. And she said, what? You think I shouldn't have gave it to him? I said, yo, he's obviously running a scam. You need to run away as
fast as you can. She said, well, he doesn't have a car. So I said, hold on. Within 24 hours, this man told you he owned a trucking company and sold drugs. And she said, he doesn't sell like little weed, like he sells weight. And then within 24 hours, he needs to borrow $200 and needs you to pick him up because he doesn't have a car. That's the end of the story. I just thought it was funny. And I wanted to know if any of y'all have ever, especially Doc Maybe, she's a lovely lady. You know, she's dated. Have you run across guys like this, Doc Maybe? And then I'll go to Blur in New York, you know, if they know any of their friends who've ever done this to a woman. Because I told her
we're
going to the hills.
We're going to have to upgrade. Look, we're going to have to upgrade your equipment so we can have commentation while you're talking, because this, I'm like in the background like, WTF. It's so many things wrong with this story. First of all, the dating scene itself can be a whole podcast alone at this grown age and dating in the world right now. The fact that he came... You know, it's one thing, because you might be like, oh, he came and confessed that he's a street pharmaceutical. No, that's not something people do. Like you said, entrepreneur, some other front business, whatever, whatever, and you might find out later on that it's a front business. But never do they actually come out and just be like, yeah, this is what I do. I run drugs. Come on. Nobody does that that's legitimate. They usually do that to, like, boost their ego, pump up their what they're doing, stroke their... I'm going to say it, guys, masculinity, make it look like they're doing something for real, for real. But that's really scary, because if he doesn't have a car, yeah, what you doing at this age, 30, 40, maybe 50, what you doing that you don't have a vehicle and you got weight, you got money, and then that you're coming to me? Now, I think what you're expressing is that she might have given it up. I mean, that's her business. She's a grown-up. She can do it. I'm not going to shame her on that. You know what I'm saying? Look, she had her needs. She got it met. That's all good. But within 24 hours, he's coming back and being like, yeah, can I borrow some money? No. We're not that cool. I don't know you like that. I mean, it's kind of – that's a whole conversation in itself, because we give our bodies – to strangers, but at the same time, I want to borrow money from you. I want to get money from you. Nah, man. What are we doing that for? No, 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 no. There were so many red flags. Run, 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 run. Because if anything, he's trying to loop her into some scandal and or something that he's up to, and you just don't. If she's got a legitimate job, self-worth, anything of value for herself, yeah, she need to get out of that quick, fast, and her change her name, change her phone number, all of the above. Yeah, don't want to be associated with that. Mm-mm. That's scary. No.
Well, before I go to New York to Blur, I just want to know, and again, this is Doc Maybe, you don't have to give any details. You know, you family to me. I would be upset if I knew any details of this. But has a guy ever mess with you and then ask you for money shortly after? Because I would just love to know. Because I would never do, like, I wouldn't even have, like, the strength in my body to ask a woman that I just slept with, yo, can I borrow money? Has that ever happened to you?
I mean, have they asked for money? Yeah, and honestly, I'm going to say in my, like, early 20s or late 20s, yes. But it wasn't like right off the bat. It was like we was in it for a minute, and it might have been something. But, yeah, and I get what you're saying. Maybe as a man, you're like, look, I'm not going to look to my lady to just be like, look, can you, you know, front me a couple of hundred or whatever. But, like I said, we talking a whole new generation of people, in my opinion, and I had a conversation today about that. Like, it's just different human beings out there today. And they just don't care. They really out there for self. So I'm not surprised. And, like, in a way, it's like the audacity. Like, he probably didn't even sweat. Like, he ain't think nothing of it. Like, hey, and he probably would have taken it. Like, can you front me a couple of hundred? And if she was willing, he probably would have been like, cool, give me a couple of hundred, and wouldn't have thought nothing of it. And I honestly, sadly, she probably would have never seen that money again.
Okay. Okay. New York, New York, what you got?
Look, I mean, saying that you sell drugs on the first date, red flag. Red flag, can't do it, can't do it. Anybody tell me that you're selling drugs? No, can't do it, can't do it. Can't be around you, my buddy, nope, nope. And then ask you for $200 after that in the morning? Like, what you got going on? What you trying to rope me into? That sounds like you trying, what? Now we going down for conspiracy, ain't doing it. Because what happened to my funding? What you got going on there that you ain't got your own $200? You run a trucking business, B? Like, come on, like, what you asking me that for? Like, nah, can't do it, can't do it. I don't even know. It's not. It's really like I. Me personally, if that would have, if I was that in that those shoes, I can't ask a woman for $200. I can't do it. I think I got too much pride in myself to ask for money like that. Especially, I don't even know this person like that. Nah. You ain't gonna see that. You ain't gonna. Nah. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
And that was gonna be my next question, New York. Like, have you ever slept with a woman and asked her for money? But you said no. I think the most I've ever asked was like when I know I hit it right, like when I know, like I hit it right. I think the most I've ever asked for was like a sandwich. Like, anybody like makes me a sandwich. I can't imagine asking somebody. Blur, a different type of cat. Blur might have broke something off and then asked to hit his Cash App. You know, I got Blur whore himself out. Blur, you ever hoard yourself out?
Absolutely. Absolutely have. Not in the way this happened, but I didn't know I was going to be the one to have to do it, but I'm going to have to shoot homie some bail. I feel like I understand. Now, saying he's a dope dealer or whatever, that's a little funny, and I wonder if maybe she's paraphrasing. If he just told her, like, yo, I'm a hustler, like, yo, I'm starting my trucking business, but I hustle on the side, like, that sounds a little bit better because you don't really know what hustling is, so people can say that. Like, I know now, like, dudes I kick it with, like, weekly almost, they the weed man. Like, that's their job. That's what they do. Like, I've been in this man's house. I played with his kids. I know his wife. Like, but his job, if you ask him what his job is, he'll probably say, oh, I'm the weed man. I mean, I know weed is a little bit different, but, you know, like, It's a different time now, and I think depending on your surroundings, you may forget that certain things aren't as accepted everywhere. Like, when you was telling the story, my first thought was like, yo, how old is this chick? Because it seems like a little bit young-ish. Like, I could see a woman, like someone in their 30s, 40s, maybe even late 20s, not going for it. But like, nah, I ain't even putting myself in that. You know, if you really believe he's a drug dealer, then you know where that lifestyle can lead you. And if you're in your 40s and, you know, he's still doing drugs, it's like, all right, look, I ain't trying to bother myself with that, even though if you, like, a dope boy in your 40s, you probably ain't going to get caught, but you probably ain't really going nowhere with it either. Now, you have a good night with somebody. Y'all kick it. Y'all, I mean, things going well. Ultimately, y'all get intimate. Whether he lay it down or he don't, maybe he got the whiskey, you think he can't, but whatever it is, y'all had a great night together. So the next morning, yeah, you now comfortable. I think the fact that he asked for money, and I can probably understand how she's like, yo, he's so comfortable, like, we at that level already. That's the level of our relationship. It's not somebody new, nobody. Like, you my girl now. And she probably think, oh, this my man now, or is about to be my man. So, yeah, I can loan him some money. He probably spent his last on the date last night. You know what? I ain't going to be no brokey. I'm going to help him out. Date could have cost $100, $200 or whatever. I'm going to give it back to him because now we in it. Like, we done had a great night. I've accepted his lifestyle as a drug dealer. We done already been intimate together. Everything is good. I'm picking him up. Everything that is he was probably nervous about or at ease about or uneasy about, I've already accepted, and I've already gave him some, so we good. Yeah, he's mad comfortable, and now she's mad comfortable. I totally can see how all this played out. Now, I don't think he said, yo, I'm a drug dealer. He probably said, yo, I hustle on the side.
Now, from the story she told me, she said, no, I'm a drug dealer, and I don't sell weed. I sell heroin. So I thought, and you need
$200. Hopefully that came out like she had to ask some additional questions. hopefully that was just some additional questions that she had to provide. I like, you, I don't know nobody. I just gonna go around and just like, yo, I move weight. Like, who talks like that? Even drug dealers don't talk like that.
That's what I said. That's why I said she should run. Because, look, I never understand it. And, see, now I can't act like I don't know these people. But when I was selling weed in college, the best thing about me selling weed in college was I didn't smoke weed that often. So when I would get a bunch of weed and break it down to sell, people like, yo, you going to stay and smoke? And I'm like, all right, like, I'll smoke a little bit with you. But I was only smoking the weed they bought off of me. Now, again, this is my younger days. I don't recommend it. I wouldn't do it. But I never understood broke drug dealers. Like, why are you taking the risk of doing something illegal and going to jail and not have no money? Unless, of course, he was lying about it. Now, again, if I wouldn't recommend that path for anybody. I will 100% say there was absolutely no reason for me to be selling weed in college. Like, I had enough money through school where I could have been fed. Yeah, I didn't have any money on the side to do anything, to party or anything. And that's all the weed money went to, was partying and hanging out. I don't recommend it. But if we're going to be adults, I'm going to just say this. If you're going to do something illegal, don't be broken, do it, because now you're risking your jail. Now you're risking your freedom. Well, you ain't got no money. And, like, there should be a positive to doing something. If you're going to make that risk, there should be some type of positive on the other side. And if you're still broken, you're still risking your freedom. It sounds like bullshit to me. I didn't want us to stay on this topic too long. It was one of the funny stories I heard this week. DJC signed, I'll go to you. Just real quick, have you ever slept with somebody and the next day they ask you for money? Has anybody ever asked you to make a sandwich after you slept with them?
I have made a sandwich.
You have made a sandwich? Yeah, buddy. Was it me or somebody else?
You.
Oh, okay. Thought it might have been somebody else. I thought you made two sandwiches.
I made sandwiches before you.
Oh, man. You made sandwiches before me. That's fine. It's all right. It happens. She's been folding the bologna for somebody else. Maybe she probably put mayo on it.
I did put mayo on the sandwich.
That means he was gay. That means he was gay. All right. So we ain't got to stay on that too long. But I thought it was a funny story that I heard this week. She's my homegirl, so I told her, I can't hate on another man in his game, so I'm going to just tell her that it was all
you ain't never met them. Like, how old are they? They're like 30s, 40s. How old are they?
See, I don't want to give too much information about her. I'll say that all parties involved in the story is older than everyone on this call.
But you got to ask about her. You got to ask about her spirit, because, like, now, you know, like, how is she doing? Because that's a lot. What is he bringing? Like, it sounds like all he had was maybe his look. Because if he ain't have no car, did he pay for the dinner? It, you know what I'm saying? Like, wow, what did he have? In 24 hours, all that?
I don't ask you those questions. Sweet person. And I just wish her nothing but the best. But it made me realize I got a friend in another walk of life, and I remember we was at the bar and we was talking to girls, and a girl asked him, what did he do? He said, I'm a dentist, and he smiled with all gold teeth. And I literally spit out my rummy coke laughing because I thought that was the greatest line I had ever heard in my life. I feel bad for y'all women out here on these streets, man. Y'all should just start shacking up, you know. Just create women houses, because it's got to be tough out here for y'all. Men just be wild out for no reason. And it's only because we got the numbers. Like, think about it. Men, heterosexual, intelligent men, the numbers of women sit in them
are probably like 8 to 1. Like the number of intelligent heterosexual males to just women. If you take out gay women, what's that, probably 10% of the population?
No.
Yeah, I'm just making up stats. So like y'all, it's tough out here for y'all. I feel bad for y'all women.
You know what's funny? I was actually just having this conversation with my girl, kind of sort of something that came across my screen about monogamy being invented by weak men, because polygamy benefits the woman. Polygamy benefits women, and it's for strong men and alpha men. And monogamy only benefits weak men because the numbers, there's not enough men for every woman. So if it was common for men to have, or accepted for men to have, more than one woman, then all the women would gravitate to just like the top men, and all the, I guess, the fives and belows or whatever you want to call them, the less desirable men, wouldn't have any women. And I was like, yeah, I was trying to, you know, let my girl know she had it good because she got me, but she was just like, I wish a bitch would. I think she was talking about me being the bitch in that scenario, but, you know. I was just saying, you know, polygamy benefits the woman.
Polygamy benefits the woman. That's a good way to look at it. DJ Cesar, you think polygamy benefits the woman? Doc Nave, you believe polygamy benefits the woman?
Let me quote the new Color Purple and the old Color Purple. Hell nah.
Yeah, why Julia Roberts trying to have sex with this man when he got the flu?
Number one, it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
She had a penis.
What you always say?
She's a good looking dude, yo.
It's Jamie Lee Curtis. She's
a hermaphrodite.
She has a penis. I didn't say anything wrong.
She also had a uterus.
Where does she pee out of? Look, there was this thing on the internet. Right? it was this thing on the internet that said, oh, look, they got a mercury thermometer.
Thermometer.
Yeah, did y'all know thermometers, like the mercury and thermometers, is poison? Shut the fuck up, DJ. I know you know this because we had this discussion, you dickhead. I'm not talking to you either, Doc Navy, because I know you know. I'm talking to New York, and Blur. Did y'all know the mercury and thermometers was poison?
Yeah, I did.
I think everybody knew that. I think everybody knows that.
Okay, cool. And today, in 2024, you shut the fuck up. In 2024, should anyone have a mercury thermometer?
I don't think what's wrong with them. I mean, you ain't, like, they're not killing. I mean, you should know what you're doing. Like, yeah, they still cheap. They work. Like, they probably less expensive than the later thermometers and definitely more accessible. So,
yeah, so you believe in lead,
still get the job done.
So you believe in lead paint, too?
It's in a glass tube. It's not exposed.
New York, do you think people should still have mercury thermometers in 2024?
No, because a lot of people let their intrusive thoughts win. It's a lot of stupidity going on around here.
Damn, that was deep. We got to unpack that. Suicide?
And that's why you have a job right there. That is it. New York. I love it. That is it right there. That's why I'm still employed.
New York.
That's it.
It took a dark turn. It was such an intelligent, thoughtful statement. Doc Mazey, you're a doctor. Do you think any human should have a mercury thermometer in 2024?
Yeah, somebody said it. I mean, the sad thing is these digital thermometers are not as efficient as the old school mercury things. Digital is not working as well as the old school stuff. You know what I mean? We're trying to be progressive, but everything isn't working as well. So, but I get it. There are people with intrusive thoughts. I actually haven't seen anybody. I don't want to put it out there, but you know, use those intrusive to use that mercury, but it's possible. Yeah.
Wow.
How accurate does digital thermometers got to be? Either you got a fever or you don't. Like if you're at 100.1, you have a small fever. If it's at 102, even if it's off by a degree, you sick motherfucker. Like how accurate does it have to be?
So
what's the difference between 101 and 102?
Technically, a fever is an anal temperature of 100.4 or greater.
Anal? You go.
Yeah, it's a core temperature. So, core, your core body part. So
that ain't about you.
But
and look at and even besides, just take it from an economical standpoint. You want something, a product that's more expensive, less readily available, and less accurate, and you want that to be the standard.
No suicide.
Nah, I think the risk of someone letting their intrusive thoughts is worth it to keep the mercury thermometers in the system and in the home. Because if someone has those thoughts, I don't know if the thermometer is the first thing they're going for.
Doc Maven says your core temperature. You're not sticking no poison in my asshole without me having a fight. We ain't talking about none of the topics we need to talk about tonight. We gotta go ahead and move on. But it was a good opening discussion. I appreciate y'all thoughts. DJ C Siren wants to keep a mercury thermometer, and I don't understand why we have tens of hundreds digital thermometers and a bunch of batteries. My little cousin, what's up, cousin? What's his name? Was he Sergeant Slaughter? What's my cousin name on here? You can't fuck with the police. What's his name? The computer's buffering.
Little cuz.
Can you hear me out there, little cousin? Did it unmute for you? Because this shit is buffering like a mother.
Yo, hear me?
Yeah, there you go. What's your name on here?
Jack.
There you go. Jack in the Box. Yeah, it's weird calling a girl man Jack.
What up, Jack? What up, Jack? How you feeling, man? How was New Year's? You still young. Did you party it up for New
Good.
Year's?
Good. Yeah, we went to King's Dominion, and we were, me and my mom, we were the last people to ride that the ride that goes all the way up and just drops you.
So so when everybody else was trying to leave, y'all was the assholes still riding.
Yeah, when the thing said 24, they had this big, you know how they got that Eiffel Tower thing right in the middle?
Yeah.
They had the year count on it. So we're like in the air while that shit turned to 24, and I'm not gonna lie, if my mom didn't want to do it, I wouldn't have did that shit. I don't know. I like my feet planted safely on the ground.
Well, that's good stuff. Well, I'm glad y'all had a good New Year. Glad to have you back on the show. I got my big cousin in the building. What's your name on there? You got my little cousin.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
How you holding up? Welcome back to the off-ramp, man. Glad to have you. It's been a while. You been doing good?
I've been good. I've been listening a couple of times, man. You know this might be witching hours, so I'll be falling asleep on you. So, but this time I got a little more bourbon in my system, and I'm ready to talk.
Yeah. We just got done talking about sticking mercury thermometers in your butthole, and is that suicide?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Arch Ellis good...
over here, bro. The wife is going crazy about your comments.
She's going crazy? What's she saying?
It's a good backup. The digital one isn't always going to work, and if you really want to know if you're sick or what your fever is, at least you know you have the old-fashioned, old-school thermometer that is going to work every time.
You're not going to stick no poison in my asshole, me be cool with it.
Then you just like, get sick and die to hell.
I just feel like you don't love me. sticking poison in my butthole. I don't think you want me to be helping. But, all right, we got to move on. We got a lot to talk. We got a lot to talk about. It's so good to have y'all on. Just remember to mute yourselves in the background. I'm trying to mute myself as I talk. We got a lot of stuff to discuss tonight. First thing I want to get to, DJ C. Sire, I want your opinion on Jonathan Majors went on Good Morning America and called another woman karate scotty. Yo, you know why we like actors? Because they're good at make-believe. But none of them are good people. Will Smith, Jonathan Majors, Cat Williams, none of them are good people.
I think it might be some limitations on schooling. Is what it is. And I think there's some limited historical presence. He just there's some people he just can't figure out that there might be someone else he could compare the person he wants to be with to. There's other strong black women in history that he might want to compare them to, but clearly he really likes Coretta Scott King and thinks that every woman he meets should be more like her. The interview itself was a little bit cringy, I guess. I don't think anyone
really... It was fucking terrible.
That's what cringy is, okay?
It was fucking terrible.
I don't think anyone felt like it was a...
He's a great dress guy, though. I love the bell-bottom shoes.
But did
pants.
You like the court outfit?
I love the coat.
You like the slave costume? The wrinkly jacket?
He had to get away from a white woman. It's PTSD.
Not the one in the videotape. The one he had.
No, the one. Yeah, look, he's still recovering, yo. He's in Jim Crow days right now. Look, he escaped slavery. Now he's in Jim Crow.
He's like wearing the same outfit Lakeith Stanfield wears in Get Out.
Yeah.
With the hat and the, I don't think it was really to his, to get his side of the story, which is what he wanted to do. I don't know if it achieved. I don't know if people are now like, he was given a raw deal. I think most people, or at least consensus online, some people I know have seen this just said that he came off as not taking responsibility for anything, especially when it said, hey, the woman had these injuries. Are you responsible for these injuries? And he was like, I don't know how he got there. And it's like thin line between love and hate. Did she do this to herself? I don't know. But Coretta Scott King, the only thing is,
Soul has been arrested for years. Why do they keep bringing her up?
They actually had the family. I can't think of her daughter's name right now. She actually had a comment like,
keep my mama name my ass in my fucking mouth.
Basically what she said in a nicer way, which I don't feel like anyone really should make a statement about it that's really officially affiliated with Coretta Scott King or the King family, because I feel like you should be intelligent enough to understand that this is not coming from someone who is, he's just grasping at straws, and I don't know if that really was necessary. For them to actually make a statement of, my mother was we know who she was, and we know his references to her might be questionable, but I don't think he's clearly doing it out of reverence for the woman and his inability to find anyone else who is reputable.
Doc Navy, did you see Jonathan Majors or was it Gayle King?
No.
So I didn't see the actual interview. I read the transcript report. And so my concern was they tried to make it a racial thing because the woman he got charged for the assault was a white female. And they're like, why is he telling this white female to be like a black female Coretta Scott King, right? And it's sad because it's kind of like, why didn't he acknowledge characteristics? Because I think he not only mentioned Coretta, but he also mentioned Michelle Obama because he compared himself to a Barack Obama and a Martin Luther King, right? Or Dr. Martin Luther King. So it's kind of like, what were the characteristics that he was trying to say he wanted to embody, he wanted this woman to embody. That was number one. It wasn't characteristics. It was just Coretta. I want her to be more like Coretta. What is it specifically you want her to be like? The other thing is, in the reading of the transcript of the interview, he never denied that he was abusive to her. Like, he's like, yeah, she fought for me to get the phone. Like, so he didn't deny that he wasn't cheating, or he didn't deny that there were some text messages from another female, and that's why she tried to get the phone from him. He just says he doesn't remember grabbing her arm, causing those injuries. He didn't deny it. He just like, I don't remember, and I'm an athlete. I think I would know my body, that kind of thing. So I can see how people in the public opinion would be like, yeah, this guy, it just isn't. And again, like you say, he's an actor, so it's like, can you trust what he's saying to you? Because he didn't deny it, right? He never said, I didn't do it. He never said, like, this is just her being dramatic, she's making more of it, I know I didn't do it. He was just like, I just don't remember. I don't think I did. I don't know how it happened. And it just really seemed, I guess the best way I can explain it, it just seemed very flamboyant or vague. And I'm like, and then I know they mentioned about him dating Megan Good. Is it Megan Good?
Yes. And
that being like a ploy of him trying to come back and get like a, you know, like the black people support or something to that. And I don't know if she, you know, just. Yeah, I don't know who the guy is, to be honest. Like, that could be just me and my world. Like, I don't really get into the drama stuff, like, because I don't know who he was until this came up. So, yeah, I don't like when any person puts their hand on people. But I also think that the woman, you know, the young lady, the woman that he's being charged for, you know, I hate that. Like, the fact that if she found these numbers or text messages on the phone, she don't need to be grabbing for him. They grown people. If he got his thing, let it go. Don't be grabbing for him. He don't need to be grabbing her for her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
Because that Ravens NFL player, is it Rice? What was his name? Remember him?
Rice,
the one that hit his girlfriend, and then she became his wife in the elevator?
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about. I never liked that because, of course, he hit her once, knocked her out, but she had slapped him a couple times before he hit her. But she never got charged. I hated that because I'm like, she should have never put her hands on him from the start.
Yeah, he put her to sleep.
So that's.
And then, I said, yeah, he put her to sleep and then carried her to bed. That was a rough video.
Yeah. But in my opinion, she should have never put her hands on him. Never. It just, we just don't need to be putting our hands on each other like that. Like, if you don't expect nobody to put your hands on them, on you, don't put your hands on nobody else, period.
Yep. I'm with you. All right, Blur, what you got?
Yeah, I gotta go in the opposite direction again. Now, I'm not going to say that the interview was great, but I think he had a clear direction or a clear objective, and he tried to thread the needle, taking responsibility without admitting guilt. It's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to even, like, say. Like, how do you do that? So you don't admit anything, but you take responsibility for your actions. And, like, kind of like what I was saying the whole time with the Tory Lanez, Megan Thee Stallion. Like, yo, you should never be in that position. Like, you the man in there. One person works for you, and you fucking the other two chicks. If somebody got shot, that's on you. Like, that's – you're responsible for managing that. And so Jonathan Majors was trying to, like, I think do that same thing. Like, look. I'm responsible for all this because I wasn't being the man I was supposed to be. I'm not admitting to hurting anybody. And I think he really tried to thread that needle, and I think he did it for the most part. Again, it's such a narrow thing to try and do, though. So it's like, even if you do it the best you can, it's not really going to get you much. Because, yeah, I ain't going to say nobody, because there probably is people out there who care about you taking responsibility for your part in it. But In the big picture, you're either going to say you did it or you didn't do it. And if you're going to sit up there and say you didn't do it, that's not really going to be newsworthy because, you know, that's what everybody expects you to do. So it didn't really – I don't think it really is going to have the big sway that maybe his people may have wanted it to, but I think he landed the plane. I think he did what he was trying to do.
Okay.
All right, all right. New York, New York, what you got?
I mean, I didn't really see the interview, to be honest. I get it, like, critic Scott King. I mean, it's one of those people. I mean, it's not even one of those people. I mean, I can understand, like, I mean, you want a lady like that or somebody to hold you down like that. But like, at the same point, I mean, you got Megan Good, yo. Why can't Megan Good be good enough to be Megan Good? You ain't got to compare nobody else to nobody else. I mean, yeah, you want a Michelle Obama, Coretta Scott King, whoever, you know what I mean? But I don't believe in comparing a person to the next woman, you know what I mean? She could be her own woman and still hold you down, yo. Keep it that way.
Okay. Yo, I think maybe he just insulated. Like, do he know that when that part came out, people were clowning him? I think he probably don't even know that, like, yo, he was a laughing stock when it came out that he was calling telling the white girl he wanted her to be like Coretta Scott King. Like, he probably ain't seen no memes. He ain't seen that on the internet. So he going to double down thinking, like, yo, that probably went over well. Nah, man. He was a joke before, and now just made it a bigger joke. So I think he probably just ain't know.
Oh, man. Jack, what you got?
I didn't see the Jonathan Majors thing. Like, I saw the video of him, like, running away. And I saw the Cat Williams thing, and I thought that was hilarious. But other than that,
okay.
Nah.
That hit your timeline. I get it. It's more for the older crowd. Weezy, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. Did you see the Jonathan Majors Good Morning America video? What you think?
I did not see that, but I will. It's kind of adjacent to that. Somebody mentioned the Ray Rice situation there. As a Baltimore Ravens fan, I would just want to say she had no shot. Came out in the first round, didn't have her guard up, got hit against the ropes, and just didn't respond. So, you know, what are you going to do? You know, NFL player, can't do much. Go Ravens, Super Bowl bound.
Yeah, that's fucked up on so many levels.
I got the Browns against the Ravens, so I'm up on that.
I like that.
You got the Browns?
Yeah, I started that wager tonight. Browns against the Ravens in the playoffs. We're going all the way.
The Browns?
You heard me. The Browns, yes.
We got to talk about your fandom one day. I'm disappointed in this Ohio loyalty. But, you know, I get it. Shout out to you, Doc Heller. Doc Navy. Oh, fuck. That's such a name. You know I love you. Shout out to Doc, baby. And our Ohio roots. Browns versus Ravens. It'd be a good one. It's a good defense. It'd be good. Playoffs is coming up. We could transition to football, but I just want to make sure anybody got anything left on this. Jonathan Majors, do y'all have a problem with him calling every girl Coretta Scott King? Can I say this without being ignorant guy, bless your soul? And I'm saying this honestly because I don't know. Did Coretta Scott do anything except for being Martin Luther King's wife? This isn't a knock on Coretta Scott King, because why is Jonathan Majors trying to compare himself to Martin Luther King? Like, you know what? Look, because sometimes I make jokes on the ladies, and I don't want people to think I'm sexist. This is just my opinion. But look, Jonathan Majors, you're an actor. You play pretend for a living. Stop acting like you're doing anything great. When he went on this whole rant to that white girl saying that he's doing this for black people and he's doing all this stuff for black people, you play pretend. You're not doing anything. I don't see you marching. I see J. Cole marching more than you. You ain't doing nothing for black people except for playing pretend on TV.
Now, you're not wrong. But
what?
Maybe you're not wrong, but maybe he planning on doing more. And so he need the Coretta someone who's going to hold down the household while he goes into his bag.
Don't tell your nobody she need to be Coretta Scott King. Well, you ain't done nothing but hand out a couple turkeys and play an evil character and a boxer from jail. You ain't doing nothing for black people. She don't need to be Coretta Scott King.
Lovecraft Country.
He wasn't even good in that. He even
Stop it.
He was good in it, but it was more about the story around all the characters. It wasn't like he blew out the screen. Little Jesse Smollett's sister did better than he did, if you ask me. I liked her character more. I think she stole the show. That's just my opinion.
So the article, like, I honestly, I don't think I've seen him acting. I think, so from the article that I read, it was summarizing his efforts of being mature in the interaction, saying like, hey, we shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying, trying to grab each other's phone. And what if it was the reverse? If I was chasing her down the street, you know, I would have just, in the cops coming after me, chasing a white woman, I would have been shot, that kind of thing. So he was like, he's trying to say the caliber of a Dr. Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King and the caliber of a, you know, former President Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, the caliber of their character is something he's trying to embody. That he's trying to be of this mature, stand-up representation of a community, and here this has happened, because the article started off, the interview started off saying how he was shocked that he was actually convicted, that he was actually found guilty, period, because of the evidence they presented and because of the evidence prosecution presented it. So that was the start of it. Like, he just was shocked that he was even found guilty, period. So he just couldn't understand, like, I am, just like you all mentioned at the top of the story, that he's a buttoned-up kind of conservative-type person. He's not looking like a hoodlum. He's not out here with his pants sagging. He's not talking with slang. And he was convicted. He's been found guilty. So in his... the way they, like I said, summarize it in the story is that he's trying to hold himself to a certain caliber of these type of people, and he wants a woman that meets that certain caliber. And this woman that he was found guilty of assaulting did not.
He's gonna have to do more than play pretend if he wants to hold himself to the caliber of Martin Luther King, who actually did something, Obama, who was president. I mean, I'm with Gunn on this one. Like, he put makeup on and say somebody else's lines. Like, that's what he does. Now, again, hopefully he'll do more, and hopefully he'll be somebody, or, you know, fill that space that someone else was probably in before, of being a representation of the black community or the black diaspora. But as of right now, he ain't did it yet.
See. And Doc maybe just reminded me. When he dropped that line, if this was reverse, they'd have shot me dead in the street. Wasn't no cop shooting you and them loafers while you was running down the street?
No, he's saying if it was reversed.
And he was chasing her in that Pico? The cops still wouldn't have shot him. They'd have been confused as the rest of us. Why are you chasing after this white woman in New York, in Manhattan? They wouldn't have shot him. They'd have been confused.
I don't know. I've seen people shot less.
Huh?
I've seen people get shot for less, so possibly could have.
Not. You ain't never seen nobody get shot in that peacoat. The peacoat was nice. Kyle would have saw that peacoat and like, nah, he ain't doing nothing. But I was so disappointed because you're already found guilty. Disney dropped you. This is the perfect time to say, the bitch is lying. This is your opportunity to come out and be like, yo, I ain't hit her. The judge is fucked up. The jury's fucked up. I never touched that bitch. I don't know how she got that injury. She probably did that to herself. You know how these white chicks guard when they get crazy and mad over black people. She went white person crazy on me. She called me a nigger. Like, you can pull out the black card now. You've already been found.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot.
Why not?
Because you want to have a career. You can't come out there and do what you just said. Nah.
Why
nah,
not?
You'll lose all support. You're probably
you
going to work
kicked
anywhere
out of Marvel.
There's other places other than Marvel.
You
but
don't
see, that's
that
also the part. But that's the part I'm saying. You can't say that because there probably is some truth to it because he did have an interaction. He admitted that he, you know, withheld the phone from her or may have grabbed the phone back from her. Do you understand? So there was a physical exchange between the two of them. He was present in whatever has happened. We just don't know the extent, like the so-called specifics of grabbing her and pulling her arm behind her or to that extent. You know, he's like, no, I'm not saying I did exactly that, but there was some type of physical exchange between the two of them. He didn't deny that.
Yeah, that's why I don't ever hit a woman, man. Unless you're smacking her on the ass, this is no point.
And she put it back out there again to get hit again. Yeah, don't do it again. Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's it. There you go. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Don't only smack a girl in the ass. Don't do what Ray Rice did. Just love the women. Don't hit them. And if she acts crazy, let her get her crazy off and say that, hey, my mother died, I gotta go out of town and just leave and never come back. That's what I gotta do. Have y'all ever, what's the biggest lie you told a woman or a man to get out of a relationship? I'm trying to rack my brain to get out of a relationship. I don't know. I don't think I've ever told. I think most women have broken up with me. I think women get tired of my nonchalantness and they just leave. I'm waiting for DJ Susan to leave. I don't think she's going anywhere, though. Have y'all ever lied to get out of a relationship? DJ Susan, have you ever lied? You ever tell somebody, like, I got bad hemorrhoids, I can't be with you no more?
What would it be that would be a lie? Now, I mean...
Like, did you ever say, hey, I got my mother died, I got to go out of town, and just, like, never talk to him again?
No. I mean, it was kind of... He was just getting on my nerves, and I think I basically said, like, this is too much. This is too much. I can't be with you anymore.
Just too much. All right. Anybody got any other?
It was like I was actively ignoring calls and stuff, and then I kind of, like, pretend like, oh, I was just in the shower. And you're getting, like, and you're sending all these texts, I'm just in the shower, even though I really wasn't normal. But then you were acting a little overly, you know what I'm saying? So I used that to be like, yeah, okay, I can't deal with that.
Anybody else got any personal stories they want to share about their relationship before we move on?
I remember telling somebody I was going to jail. I can't remember exactly who. I don't even remember who it was, but I do remember telling them that once before. I'm like, yo, I'm getting locked up. I don't know when I'm going to have to turn myself in, but it could be any day now. I don't even remember exactly why. Like, I have no reason why I couldn't just tell them the truth or just ghost them. Like, this was like, not going to say before social media. This was probably back in, like, the Black Planet days. Like, I never had a MySpace, but I think I had a Black Planet at the time. And I remember telling them that I was getting locked, I got locked up or I got convicted or whatever. I was going to have to turn myself in. And I think that was probably the last time I spoke to them.
Damn. Okay, good story. Using jail. That's a story. It'd have been dope if she asked for your address, like, so she can write to you and come visit. She, you know, she's a keeper. Anybody got anything else? Oh, I got
to go.
Oh, go ahead. Who's that? Jack? Go ahead, Jack.
I told a girl I cheated on her, but I didn't. I just didn't want to be with her no more.
You didn't really cheat on her. You just came out the blue and said, I cheated on you?
Yeah, I just said, yeah, for real, I cheated on you. It's been eating me up.
I know I have no place to talk, but wouldn't it have been easier to actually cheat or to just say, yo, I don't want to do this no more? Like, you can't label the cheater without actually cheating. You could have actually just cheated.
I mean, I don't know. It made sense at the time.
It made sense at the time. Tell the girl. Oh, there go Weezy back. Weezy, you back online. I just want to make sure you was good. So Weezy, you got any stories about any time you ever lied to a girl to get to break up with her or to leave her?
No, I do not. Straightforward. Straightforward is easy. I mean, I think, who knows? I don't know.
Sisters in the room, tell us hey, what up. Hey, Doc Heather, you ever lied to a guy?
No, but I'm just like laughing over here. I want DJ C Siren to cue up Fire and Desire, Love Him and Leave Him. Like, just cue up the song. Just ready
to go.
Do
you know what you should talk about?
No, just the song.
I know, but I know since y'all went to school together, you might know what dude she talking about. Let's see, who else we got? New York, you got anything?
Nah, I'm straightforward like Weezy.
Okay. I think the only weird situation I had is I dated a girl, and this is, so I'm the type, I have a lot of female friends, right? It was something that, you know, it's weird on my end, but I don't feel like I need to sleep with every attractive woman I'm around. I'm okay with just being friends with women. It doesn't bother me. I really enjoy it because I really like talking to them. I was friends with this girl for a long time, for like a year and a half. Never messed with her. Never was anything more than friends. And then I had broke up with the girl I was dating. And she was like, yo, let's try us dating. And I had my reservations, but I said, okay, cool. And she lived in West Virginia. I went to go visit her. And she had a bottle of Hennessy Berg football hat in her apartment. Now, because I've been friends with her for a year, I knew two things. One, she didn't drink Hennessy. And two, she didn't play Pittsburgh football. So I knew at that exact moment I was going to break up with her. Because clearly, she's fucking somebody else. But I was in West Virginia. So I had to make it through the weekend. So I just drank a homie's Hennessy and got through the weekend and then broke up with her. So I lied the whole weekend, basically. She also tried to run me off the road at the end of that weekend, but that's a whole other story. But yeah, I kind of lied that whole weekend to make her feel like that I was still with her and I was still interested in being with her. It's probably the shortest relationship I've ever had in my life. It lasted 3 days. I think we were boyfriend and girlfriend on Wednesday. I went to visit her on Friday, and we were broken up by Sunday. And again, we had been friends for a year and a half prior. So, and I think she ended up marrying the guy. Every girl that I ever broke up with ended up marrying the guy they were with either right before me or right after me. I'm that guy. What do they call them when the woman finds the person they love right after they sleep with you?
Good luck, Chuck.
Good luck, Chuck. I'm good luck, Chuck. The person that you fall in love with next is going to be your person. DJ C. Sire, your love is still out there. Oh, man. All right. So we done on that? We all good on that? All right. So next topic. Let me just go around the room real quick since we ain't got 40 minutes. DJ Society, anything specific you want to talk about? I want to talk about Japan's earthquake and the nuclear plant that's unstable right now, but I don't think anyone's interested in me. But DJ Society, you got anything you want to talk about that happened in the last week?
Did you want to do something quick? I mean, I know.
We got everything. It's our show. Stephen A. Smith called Jason Whitlock a fat bastard, and I got offended. But we can talk about anything. It's your show.
We can talk later. I'll pose it later.
Blur, you got anything you want to talk about?
I don't know if anybody cares, but the Native Americans are petitioning NASA to stop a private company from sending human remains to the moon. Like, I read this article, and it blew my mind, because I was like, there's people sending remains to the moon? One. Two, Native Americans think they can stop them? And then three, why are they talking to NASA about it if NASA ain't got no say in the matter? Or do they have a say? Like, have y'all heard anything about any of that?
I have not. Anybody else? Who owns the moon? Like, can I go to the moon and put a Starbucks up?
China.
I mean, the American flag is there. We got there first, so technically it should be ours.
No, it's China. China just put a space station on the dark side of the moon. Or not just, but they landed on the dark side of the moon, and that's what they're building up there. And they've actually claimed that area.
DJ C. Cyrus says to India, why do you want a place that's just dark?
No, I'm just saying, I thought something, India did something.
Like, can I launch a rocket to the moon?
Yes.
Without getting arrested?
Yes. Well, you know, there's probably some type of permit, but apparently from reading this article, there's one company that sends spaceships or send rockets to the moon or can send rockets to the moon. And there's another company that they partner with that if you want, when you die, it's a fee, it's probably expensive, you can have your bones, your skeleton, your remains flown to the moon and be left there. This is the thing. Like, people have paid for this. Like, they sent, I don't know if they sent one before, but the most recent one, it didn't work. And, like, the shuttle or whatever that had the remains had to be brought back to Earth. And I think that's how it got on the Native Americans' radar, because then they were like, yo, we pray to the moon. Like, that's a spiritual thing for us, and we don't want human remains and skeletons on the moon because that's, like, part of our religion.
Yeah, Native Americans need to understand the moon is just one big rock, and they got caught in our orbit. They need to stop acting like that's God. They had the problem with the Incas and tearing out people's hearts and killing it for the sun. They got to catch up on science. But I kind of agree with them, but that's kind of cool, though. I wouldn't mind my remains going to the moon. You know, like,
so
look. Go ahead.
What's, like, the goal or the purpose of taking remains? Is it just because they have money and people are doing it?
I mean, what's the goal? Yeah, what's the goal of being buried in the ground or being thrown in the ocean?
No, it's to kind of theoretically to spread our genetic DNA or our species DNA, so to speak, to get planted different places.
I mean, if you believe in God but have a little bit of science to you, it makes sense. The universe is nothing but a violent pinball machine. Eventually, an asteroid is going to hit Earth. It's going to blow Earth up. Eventually, an asteroid is going to hit the moon. It's going to blow the moon up. It's going to spread its particles all across the galaxy. And you hope that the galaxy of remains hits another part of a planet that has the right temperature, and then those particles create life again. Unless you think God did it. Shout out to God. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if you put human remains on different, when different astral bodies hit those planets and cause these chemical reactions, It's just like how they would terraform Mars. All they would do is cause a big explosion and see if life comes out. So it kind of makes sense. I feel like it's a waste of gasoline, you know. Like, if you're telling me that you're destroying our atmosphere just to dump dead bodies on the moon, I don't think it's worth it.
It might be going up when it's doing some other stuff. You know,
because I feel like Elon Musk burned a lot of... I feel like Elon Musk fucked up our ozone layer with all these rockets.
He the only one trying to bring them back down, so...
Cool that he got the Spirit Airlines of rockets that they can be reused, but I feel like there's a lot of fuel being burned. But hey, can we go to another quick subject about this Boeing aircraft that just lost its door?
It's not a door. It's a plug of where a door could be.
Oh my God! And I hate flying as it is. And I love sitting in the exit rows because of the leg space. I don't think I'm ever sitting in the exit row again. Because I never buckle my seatbelt on an airplane.
He got a door.
Oh. You know, they said a dude's shirt came off.
Oh, really?
While he was wearing it.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah. Okay, so for those who don't know, a plane going from, what was it, Alaskan Airlines? It was Alaska to Seattle. So this is an American airline, which I usually hear about this shit on different places. This is America, Jack. The plane took off, and the fucking door disappeared.
It wasn't a door.
Thankfully, no one was hurt. The plane turned around and made an emergency landing, but a bunch of stuff was sucked out the plane. There was multiple cell phones found on the ground. One was still working. Shout out to iPhone. The iPhone was still working. But a door came open. Just flew open on the plane. Right? We shouldn't be flying. I feel like it's a necessary evil, but I feel like this is just dangerous. Did y'all see the story? What did y'all think of the story? I hate flying. This made me even fear any worse. I'm about to get on a plane in a couple months again. This shit crazy. Anybody got anything on it?
I saw it. But I didn't really think it was that, I ain't going to say that big of a deal. I ain't going to say that. I mean, and it's funny because I know of Alaska Airlines, obviously, but I ain't ever flown them. And even though it's still, you know, in Alaskan Airlines, it's a North American thing, they in and out of the U.S., I don't really see them as an airline, one of ours. It's not like one of our airlines. I mean, again, it is ours technically, but it's not ours. Like, we ain't flying that domestically for the most part. And so it's still kind of like a little bit of separation, for me at least. That's that. I'm like, all right, cool. That's them. I think it was United was like, yo, come check out all of ours. Like, yo, full diagnostic on every airline, on every single plane. And that's why I like, yo, when things like that happen, especially something like this, when no one dies, that means, hey, everybody going to be on their P's and Q's right after that. That's the perfect time to fly because everybody going to be extra vigilant. So I was kind of like, cool. They caught it early. Like, it blew open early while they were still on the ascent, so they didn't really get as high as they were supposed to go. Nobody died. Perfect. It's almost like somebody planned it.
Hell nah. That airline better give me free tickets to fly anywhere I want for the rest of my life. Even after a traumatic experience, I probably won't do it. But nah, I need some type of compensation, bro. I need some type of compensation. Ain't no way. That's not normal. Ain't no way I'm keeping it. You know how loud I would scream at the top of my lungs when that shit happened, bro? Ain't no peace on that plane until we land back on the ground. Ain't no way. Ain't no way we just going to act like a piece of a plane just going to fly off. Everybody remain calm until we land. Nigga. Hell nah, nigga. Ain't no. It's a perfect situation that nobody died, but it ain't that perfect for that airplane. I want some free shit.
Anybody else?
So I did. I didn't hear about it, but at the same time, I feel like that's very rare. And my immediate thought is there was a default. Like, there was some kind of deficiency. Somebody didn't check or double check. Somebody didn't do their, you know what I'm saying, close checks, whatever they're supposed to do before we take off kind of thing. Because, like, you just never really heard that before. So, yes, I'm thankful that nobody got hurt. But that's very rare and unique. So, that's odd.
And I heard, like, the dude, like, the head engineer or the engineer over that was, like, doing, like, triple responsibilities, and he was supposed to have someone who was, like, responsible for oversight over him, but he was doing that job, too. So it's, like, he's doing the work, and he's responsible for checking his own work. So, yeah, just some corners was cut.
DJ Cesar.
Well, it wasn't actually a door, and I don't know if they kind of was ignoring this because it is where a door can be. So it's actually a screwed-in part of the wall where if you decided if you bought the plane, if you wanted that extra emergency exit, that it would be a door. But you have the option to just make it kind of what they call plug, which is it's not supposed to come out. I'm wondering if it's because of that, but it doesn't get checked that often because it's not really supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be a permanent fixture and not something that actually needs to be removed if there is, you know, that it's not an option as an emergency exit in that style.
Like, that's the crazy thing. I learned this from working with, I worked with Blackwater for a little time. They renamed their company Z after they got in trouble for killing all them Afghans for no reason. And I worked for their, it was called Presidential Airways. I worked for their, you know, their airplane division. And what you learn is when you get into that industry is, so Boeing will make a plane. They'll make a, let's just say a 757. And they'll say, hey, this is the plane that you can buy for $10 million. So for $10 million, it comes with everything. Autopilot, all the bells and whistles. It's like buying a an S-Class Mercedes-Benz, whatever, everything. But just like your car, hey, you can get this same plane, but without the autopilot, without some safety features for $5 million, without the extra door for $5 million. Now, what I've known, and that's crazy because Alaskan Airlines, I would assume, is an American standards plane. So I know, now this is when I worked for them, this is 20 years ago, or not 20 years ago, this is probably 15 years ago. When I worked for them, American Airlines had to buy the highest standard of Boeing airplanes. You couldn't buy a lower model, right? So the way Spirit, the way some of the lower class airlines got away with stuff is that they would buy airplanes after a certain mileage from Delta, from Southwest, from American Airlines. And they would have to meet a higher safety standard. So, yeah, the planes were older. They didn't look as good. But they would have to meet a certain standard. But they could still fly the plane. I'm wondering, because they didn't have a door there and it was just a plug when the option could have been the door, how they got away with it. Because we've been on those 737s. That last flight that we took to Phoenix was was one of them newer 737s.
I thought it was a 9. I thought it was a Boeing Super
Max 737. Because it was brand new, as nice as a motherfucker. And we sat by the door. Excuse me. So I'm wondering how Alaskan Airlines got away by not buying the highest standard of that plane. I wonder if anything.
I don't think that takes away the standard. They said it does. Because it still has enough exits to cover safety.
Interesting. So I just knew that when I worked for that airplane division, what you had to buy in order to fly a plane in America. Because that's the thing about owning an airline industry in America. Because we are a litigated society, the more people you have on the plane, the more people you can get sued by. And I've told this story before. What they told us when I was working for this airline industry is like, look, if we got a plane with two people in it, we can survive them dying. But if we got a plane with 100 people in it, it's a whole different between 100 people suing you and two people suing you. So the more people you got per plane, the safer the plane is. So I was pretty shocked by this. But I'm glad everybody made it out. I'm glad everybody was safe. That's my quick story on flying planes.
Well, look, real quick, don't forget what New York said. Don't forget people do have intrusive thoughts. You never know if somebody disgruntled, sabotaged something. That's a possibility. So, hey, maybe it was really nothing technically wrong with the plane. Maybe it was sabotaged. Maybe it was tampered with. Just never know. Like I said, I think that's a very odd and rare occurrence that, you know, they could be investigated and hopefully they find that out.
Okay. Well, we hope nobody set people up. I catch you fucking with something on the plane. We fight it. All right. So that was Blur's topic. New York, you got anything?
Nope. Let's get into these topics.
Doc Nave, you got anything you want to discuss in particular?
Nope. I'm getting ready to shut it down from my side.
I hear that. Jack, you got anything?
No, let's get it moving.
Weezy, you got anything?
Nope.
I don't know where Weezy went. Oh, say, Weezy might have fell asleep. All right, so I got my topics, and we'll keep it going. We'll keep it moving. I already asked you, right, DJ Cesar? Yeah, I think I asked you. All right, so Epstein just came out. Aaron Rodgers came on and said, hey, Jimmy Kimmel might be on it. And then Jimmy Kimmel wasn't on it. But Epstein's list came out. And I don't think it had that big of an impact as everybody thought. Like, we knew, like, okay. Epstein had a list of people that visited his island.
Did it really come out? I thought it was still.
I thought something
not official.
I don't think none of it's official.
Yeah.
But he has a list of people who visited his island. But do we think that he had a list of people who slept with underage women?
They think so. These people think so. But I don't know why they think that.
But he probably had a list of everybody who came and party with him. But we can't honestly think that everybody who came there slept with underage children, right?
Right.
Am I bugging? Like, why is everybody so crazy about this list? Is it just the idea of conspiracy theories?
I think part of it is that, and the list is actually just like the flight manifest. They're showing everyone who used the plane. So, yeah, like, if you've flown on his private jet, then your name is on the list. It don't even actually say that you went to his island, which I think took some of the sting out of the list. But I think people are so interested in it because, like, even if you know not everybody on the list was going to be a pedophile, you know all these people on the list fuck with pedophiles. It's like, yo, you knew, right? Like, you knew something was up. Like, you knew those Diddy parties weren't always on the up and up, right? Like, and so it's like seeing the list of these people, a lot of them are like, I don't know, high society or, you know, rich people, celebrities, politicians. And you see, like, yo, y'all all fuck with a pedophile. Like, y'all was cool. Like, y'all flew in his jet cool. Like, you got to be really cool with somebody for them to send a private jet for you. And so, like, you can't deny it, I guess, some people. Because, I mean, do we think Oprah knew that she was fucking with a pedophile? Maybe, but that's a maybe, yo. It's a maybe. Maybe she did know. And she was still fucking with him.
Like, I think that's, the heart of it.
I mean, look, I'm not making excuses for Harvey Weinstein. Not Harvey Weinstein. Epstein. I don't know. But Blur, take me and you. You're one of my best friends that I've ever had in my life. Like, if me and DJ C-Sire fell out that plane and the courts came and gave you my son, I know my son will be in good hands. That's how close we are. I have no idea how old your girl is. Like, I have no interest in your love life.
But you would know if you came me fucking with young girls before. Like, that's something like, I'm pretty sure the people who hung with Epstein know that he was like, yeah, like, Trump was saying it, like, you know, he likes them young. So Trump knew something. I'm pretty sure Trump wasn't the only one who saw something was like, you know, that's a little sketchy over there.
But I have seen you fuck with young girls before. I've seen you fuck with old girls, too. Now, I don't think that me saying that, I'm not trying to put you in the pedophile category. I don't want to even lead anybody to believe that. But I never know who the girls you fuck with, how old they are. I don't know the girls that when me and Weezy went to college together and the girls he dated. I don't know how old they were. Like, there's a good chance people don't know that Epstein was out here smashing little kids, right?
And then on top of that, he did get convicted of this before. Like, he had already been to jail or not, well, whatever his sentence was, where he was supposed to be, like, locked up, but he got to spend, like, 21 days outside the jail or something like that. So he had already been convicted of something before. They were still hopping on that jet to go party with him.
Okay, so everybody who hopped on the plane after he got convicted, we should wonder about. But anybody who hopped on there before, I mean, look, I'm not saying that they didn't know. I'm not saying that they did know. I'm just saying I was trying to put myself in a position. Like Doc Navy. She comes down to the beach and party. She be having nice little young things with her. I don't know how old these dudes are.
Oh, they don't have milk on their lip. Okay.
I don't think they birth certificate.
They have hair on their chest. Look, and that's not just from the protein and steroids that their chicken are getting. Okay, so yeah, we're not going there. Okay.
They're asking for help for their multiplication chart. Yeah, I mean, you know, help me with my multiplication homework. Nah, they ain't doing that.
I feel like the girls going to Epstein Island wasn't doing any multiplication.
And I think it's kind of foolish not thinking you might have maybe different types of parties for different types of people.
I would think so, too.
He has enough money to, like, okay, well, this guest list is coming in isn't for this type of, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to have the girls coming through this weekend because I have Oprah so-and-so and so-and-so. This is about just staying in touch with the movers and the shakers in the business that I'm trying to, you know, keep. And, of course, they're going to be like, yeah, this man has money. I mean, they're on my level. I'm going to go out and hang out with them. It just doesn't – I mean, so, no, there might have not been anything going on that anyone would have noticed because you weren't there the weekend that he had the pedophile party. I mean, you know, I don't think, you might think he was reckless enough because he had enough money and didn't think he'd get caught, but I'm pretty sure that there was enough money and cunning to know when we going to do the things that I know I can be indicted or go to jail or be in prison for.
Yeah, I mean,
were there, and that's the problem. Like, we don't know who was on which guest list. Like, you could have told me that what's the dude in the wheelchair to do the space time continuum dude, like, yeah, him, like, I wouldn't have thought he was on the same guest list with Bill Clinton, but
You don't know.
You don't.
Like, that's the thing. Once you're on that list, you're on that list. We don't know what party you got invited to.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, why do we think? And again, this ain't me making.
Because we.
This isn't an indictment or trying to give excuse for Epstein. Whatever creepy shit he did, him and R. Kelly can go to hell for all I care. But I feel like not everybody on his list. And maybe they are. I mean, because I don't know that either. Maybe everybody on his list is a pedophile.
Sure.
But I feel like he had enough money and was popular enough that there's probably a bunch of people who, like, I thought that old man was gay because I never saw him with a chick. Not realizing that he was eyeing up these young chicks. Mm-hmm. But just when it got time for them to do the business, like a dude like me, like if I go to a party with a bunch of rich people, like I've been to parties with people with money. As I was single, I wasn't watching anything they were doing. I told y'all the story about me and Gabrielle Union almost got married. I was at a party with a bunch of millionaires. I wasn't worried about what the other millionaires was doing just because I was poor. I was going off the image that they thought that I was a millionaire, and I was talking to a woman of age. But if you told me someone in that party was fucking an underage person, I would have thought no way. But the party was big enough where I wouldn't have known. I would have had no clue because I was too busy doing me.
How come everybody in industry knew that Diddy parties had some extra going on? I'm pretty sure it wasn't all happening like out in the open, but once these allegations came out of her, everybody coming out, like, all the little people started connecting the dots. Oh, this person said this, and this person said this. So people in that world knew enough about what was happening at Diddy parties.
Whether they partook or not. I mean, that ain't illegal.
Oh, not necessarily illegal. Not illegal, just immoral. Like, just like people knew what was happening.
I mean, I know the gay bars are doing gay sex. Why is that a big deal?
It's not.
Gay people.
They might have not thought it was a big deal. And because someone ain't telling everybody that they're gay, they might not really want to be. They ain't worried about it.
I mean, I would ask Diddy, is this the gay party or the straight party?
But I'm just saying, that's different.
Because I don't want to come to the gay party.
That's different than a party where people are committing crimes.
Not that I think I got anything gay. I just don't want to be at that party.
Gay sex or orgies of all blah with people that are willing participants is one thing. Unless Diddy's out here drugging people and raping them. Okay, that's another. And if that's what you're saying they knew, then okay, they're guilty. Then they should. That's on them too. Talking about crimes. And I mean,
that's what I'm saying. And these are actually saying the same exact same thing. It's saying the thing that I just am confused about. Are we saying that everybody on this list knew crimes were being committed?
And well, everybody on this list affiliated with pedophiles. Now, do you want to be on the list of people affiliated with pedophiles, and it's a 50-50 chance that you're on the list with pedophiles? Keep me off that list. I don't want to be on it. I don't want to be affiliated with pedophiles. I don't want it to be a 50% chance that I was partying with pedophiles.
They don't want to be on the list. This isn't a choice of I want to be, but, like, I don't want to be affiliated with people who've broken the law, but I am.
But is it knowingly? That's the question.
My brother called me the other day. I called him back. He ain't called me back since. I'm worried that he's locked up somewhere in Oklahoma.
That's why the list is, I'm going to say, a big deal, but that's why people want to know. Because it's like, all right, which one of you righteous bastards was out here partying with pedophiles, affiliate with pedophiles, and let's see which guest list was you on. Was you likely partying with Bill Clinton, or was you likely partying with Oprah? Let's see.
Okay. All right. Well,
I think this is very tricky because, like, you I mean, I don't know. I mean, I heard about Epstein. He had the woman that was supposed to be helping him. But let's, like, real quick about R. Kelly, right? When the stories came out, the women came out about how he was keeping, like, so many women in a room and they could only use the bathroom and, like, containers. And, like, to keep all that quiet, somebody had to know. Somebody had to know that. And the young women that he had, parents who were admitting that they had sent their children to him and were allowing their young women or young daughters to go with him. It's like, what did you think was happening? You know what I mean? Like, who was supervising? Who was keeping up? It wasn't a female that you gave, you know, your direct rights to supervise this young lady, your daughter to. There was so many questions with that, like, in my mind. Like, what did you think was happening? And the same thing with Epstein. Like, he has so much money. He has his own island. He could have had a house that had 5,000 rooms, and any of these things could have been happening in a room that you never, ever, ever saw. So you could have been at the house. It could have been a different time. But you could have never known that any of these things were happening at that time that you were there, because it was either not happening at the same time or it was in a totally different area that you never, ever saw, because it just wasn't the area you were supposed to see or you cared to see. So it's kind of tricky. And then it's like, so if it does come out that these people flew on his private jet, they were there at the same time, it's like, what now? What does that mean? What do we make it mean? So if Oprah was there at the same time he had some of these women, so what? Are you going to punish her? And that's just a question. I mean, I'm serious. Like, what does that mean?
I mean, these are all billionaires and multimillionaires, so I don't know what punishment looks like for them. But it's definitely going to change how people perceive some of these people. I mean, Bill Clinton is Bill Clinton. I don't think, especially like people have known for a long time that he partied with Epstein, so it's not going to change, I think, people's perception of him. Stephen Hawking, like when Stephen Hawking's name came out on the list, I guarantee you some people were like, whoa. And like the whole little rumor about him watching naked midgets try to do math equations on a chalkboard that was too big for him. I don't believe it, but look, this man was like theorizing about space, and now all of a sudden his name is getting dragged through the mud talking about he liked to watch naked midgets jump up and down. Like, there's no punishment, but it's going to change the perception of people.
I don't think so, because a man who said he can grab women by their pussies or peas, I don't know if I can say the full word, but I just did, got elected to be president of the United States. So it's like, did that really change our perception of him? And it's possible he could get elected again. He said that.
I know it's a little bit.
It wasn't
of a serious
just a soundbite. It was his body, his voice. It was him, and he said, "Yeah, I can grab them by their pussies, not vaginas." And he got elected and served a whole full United States presidential term.
Yo,
he didn't distinguish if his. I don't know.
I'm sorry, sis. You just made me think about it. How to tell me you don't get pussy is when you describe how you be with a woman is grabbed her by a pussy. Like, have y'all ever? I'm talking to the men. I don't want to be sexist, but I was talking to the males. Have y'all just grabbed a woman's pussy before?
It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just grab a pussy. God damn, that's a hell of a dog. Like, you have to massage and gently take care of a pussy. You there's no way you can tell you've grabbed a pussy.
Absolutely have. I don't why do you think you have to massage and take care of it? Like, that thing is built for this, man. That's what it's made for.
It breathes life. Why are y'all grabbing pussies, y'all? Why are you not?
I mean, why am I not?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I understand, like grabbing a dick.
that's your own. Like, you grab your own meat, but grabbing them, I don't know. I guess I've never. I just felt like it's too sensitive in an area to just grab. Like, there's nothing to grab.
Just cut the whole thing, man. You if you want to grab it, you can.
That's just crazy. But there was something else I was going to say. All right, so we talked about Donald Trump, Epstein. What was I going to say? Fuck it. I had a good joke, and I didn't want to cut Doc Navy off. But it wasn't about grabbing pussies. Damn, I had a good joke. All right, it don't matter. All right, y'all get on that. I can't believe y'all be out here grabbing pussies, yo. Be nice. Be nice to the pussy, yo. Stop grabbing. Caress the pussy. Massage the pussy. Kiss the pussy. Lick the pussy. I don't think you can grab a pussy. I think you can grab the groin. But you can't. You can't just be out here grabbing pussies. All right. I forgot what joke I was gonna say. I tried to bring it back. Didn't work. All right. So what other topics we got? We only got about 5 minutes left. It's been a great show. Y'all starting to fade on me. Native Americans and Moons. Rock the Bell's Name Shook Ones Part 2, the greatest hip-hop beat of all time. Do y'all agree? Yes or no? DJ C-Sire, do you agree that Shook Ones is the greatest beat of all time?
I agree. Why not? It's
hard
to, I mean, you know, it's a good one.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's a good
one. I'm not mad at it. That's tough. I think that's one of the toughest verses Prodigy ever spit. And the fact that he was like, what do you say? I'm only 16, but my mind is older. It's a scary, scary verse for somebody that young. Greatest beat of all time, man. That's so tough. It's too hard to pick. Shook Ones is definitely up there. Kanye West got to have a couple that's up there. Anybody else disagree with that? Shook Ones Part 2, greatest hip-hop beat of all time?
I disagree. Like, I think, I don't know if DJ C-Sire, somebody put it in the chat, and I didn't watch the whole video. I read through the list, and then I watched their discussion on the number one. And I was like, it's a dope beat, but I think that's just East Coast bias. I got to call East Coast bias on this one, man. I don't think that's the best beat of the last 50 years. Like, it's a good beat. It's nice. The song is dope, obviously, but I can't put that at number one. I actually had a number one in my mind. I can't think of it now. I think it might have been a Swiss beat, if I'm not mistaken, as my favorite beat of all time. But, nah, Shit Ones ain't it. That's cool. Maybe top 10 to 15, but not number one. I think that might be just a little bit. Oh, yes. Bombed Over Baghdad. Just let that play with no vocals. I might have to second that one.
Bombs Over Baghdad up there for me. It's just it's a musical genius in itself. But okay, so hold on, just real quick, y'all go around the room. So DJ C-Sire picked Shook Ones. I picked Bombs Over Baghdad. You agree with it? New York. What you think? You got bias? Do you agree?
That's look, I can't disagree, but I don't really have like another song to put up against it. You know what I mean? But I'm happy. It's from the home team, so I can't hate. I mean, it's one of the ones. I just don't think it's the best one, to be honest. But well, you know what I mean? Salute to them,
Jack. Jack, there you go.
I don't think I agree, but I don't have nothing in my mind right now that can rival it. So I'm just gonna have to wait.
Okay, Weezy. Weezy might have fell asleep on us. DJ C-Sire, you got it.
I mean, just to give y'all a little bit of on what they were really thinking. Top 10. 10, nothing but a G thing. Dr. Dre, 9, Rough Riders Anthem, DMX. 8, Annie Up, M.O.P. 7, T.R.O.Y., Troy. We'll Never Miss Over You, Pete Rock, C.L. Smooth. Number 6 is Plant Rock, Afrika Bambaataa.
Fuck that.
Hey, Plant Rock.
Rock.
Number 5, New York State of Mind, Nas.
Oof.
Number 4, Flavor in Your Ear, Craig Mack.
Mm.
Then we come to the top 3 is 3, Electric Relaxation, Tribe. Number 2 is still Dre, Dr. Dre, and number 1 is Shook One. If you go further back, you'll get some, you know, you do have your Kanye, I think the Kanye.
Graduation.
It's a song. It would be one song.
Graduation is a song.
Graduation? What? How would it go? You think that's his best beat?
What do I think Kanye West's beat must be? We got to revisit this.
I'm just saying. You said it like that was going to be the best.
Good morning. I think it was good morning, not graduation.
They did number 40, Gold Digger.
It's the song that ruined America.
Yeah. That's all they did. All
right. Well, we only got 4 minutes left, and I want to give my man New York some time. He wanted to express his frustrations with companies asking their workers to go back into the office and not work virtual. Now, I've had this experience. I worked for virtual for 2 years, and then my company said, hey. Well, the governor of Virginia said, hey, you're a state employee. I know you've been working virtually, but we got all these buildings we got. So take your black ass back to work. You get one day at home, and I don't want to hear no shit. And the governor of Virginia told us, if you have to work more than one day from home, you must get it signed by me. Which I thought was fucked up. Like, you in Richmond, yo. Like, you 2 hours away from here. You don't know what I got going on out here by the beach. New York, what do you want to express yourself about going back to work?
You know, it's so crazy because coming into this conversation, I was actually going to change my thought because my first day back in the office was yesterday, right? Good time. I ain't going to hold you. I've been working for a whole 3 times. Good time. I'm going to make it short, simple, sweet, right? Good time. It's good seeing people, interacting with people. While my supervisor called me today while I was working from home comfortably in my bed, they like, look, don't be alarmed. But so the people in the section that she was sitting with, one of them tested positive for COVID. I'm not going back in the fucking office, yo. Not going back in the fucking office. Keep me here in my home. You ain't going to play with my health like that. No. We working remote. I don't care what you say. Now I got to take a COVID test. Now I got to quarantine because I'm scared. See, this is what happens when you fuck up and send people back in the office. Nope.
So you got COVID, yo?
I don't know. I got a test. Like, somebody just tested positive today, so I got to wait, y'all mean? I got the home test, y'all mean? Got to take the test, wait and see. But nah, we ain't doing that. Go back to the mask mandate or something. Think people wear masks, and, bro, it was mad people coughing in there. Open air, too. Like, come on. I let it to a couple coughs slide, but you coughing all willy-nilly from this direction, somebody in the back coughing like this, we'll let it slide. All right, cool, you know what I mean? First day in the back of office. I'm not going to complain, but nah. Don't call me the next day talking about somebody got COVID. Nah. And you expect me to come in 2 days a week? Nah. That's eradicated. Nope.
Everybody
put
get
me
back
in for
in
another
office.
Telework agreement.
Everybody get back in the office, man. These homeless people need y'all, man. They out there struggling with nobody walking around downtown and in these areas, man. Ain't nobody giving them no loose change. These restaurants is closing up. These office spaces is boarding up. Get back to work, people, man. Everybody start driving your gas guzzlers again. Drive around. Pay for parking. Take the train. Take the bus. Fill up these downtown areas, man, and get these buildings back to capacity. Get back to work. Get out the house. Get some sunshine.
All right, we out. Good show. It's been fun. D-Dixie side, you got anything to say before you roll? Weezy, you want to close us out? You out there yet?
Nah, thanks for letting me listen in today. Good show, Beachwam and DJ.
Always good to have
Thank you.
Always good to have you, my brother. Jack, you got anything?
Nah, it was great.
still having you, Lil, because you gotta hit me up when you get get some free time. Let's get up, man. Doc Mays, you got anything?
Love you all to life and happy 2024.
Oh, I love you, sis. Always good hearing from you. Blair, what you got?
Oh, just remind everybody, man, go get a fresh cut. No matter how long it's been, man, get your fresh cut. Your barber miss you. Have you feel like a brand new person. And 2 Chainz said, when I die, bury me in the booty club. He didn't say, when I die, bury me on the moon. We got to, like, let's cut that out. We're getting a little crazy now.
Can you imagine having a cemetery in a strip club? Like who's given the headstone the lap dance? That'd be crazy. New York, we out. What you got?
Y'all mean protect your health, protect your wealth, stay safe. Y'all mean it's COVID season apparently again. Y'all mean it's cold outside. Check on your cars, check on your loved ones, everything like that. Still remain the same. Don't send me back into the office. Y'all mean. Yo, go do whatever you got to do to quarantine, you know what I mean, protect yourself. Other than that, you know what I mean, stay healthy, stay blessed. See y'all next show.
All right.